D4.
Number 19, A.
So we go through the vertical again and look at it from the point of view of the synonymous terms and see what higher sense of Christianity or Christianity is given to us the moment we rise, so to say, to the super symbols which take in all the details. Now, we start with divine science again, and there we could symbolize Christianity in divine science with the synonymous term love, but with the place value of one love. I think that one is indicating the level of principle and idea being one, and that gives a sense that what Christianity really is the very fact that in being exists something, such a thing as just one love. Well, can you see that this has nothing to do with the biblical sense of Christianity, of God loving me? There is no God loving me here. There is no me loving God there. That's not the sense in divine science of Christianity. It's not that where we love each other, where we love our neighbors. All that is not a concept which is exalted enough to see what Christianity means. Christianity means here that love is fulfilled within itself. Christianity is the effect of love, capitalized. Love is, again, love, capitalized. That's the point, that we begin to realize there that we don't have to have here that sense of me loving another one, me loving God, God loving me, but just see that there is love per se. Therefore, love loving love. Love loving being love. In other words, love loving being fulfillment. Perfection loving to be perfection. Fulfillment loving to be fulfillment. And never losing sight of it. Never being separate from this manifestation. So that we have a sense of Christianity here where we sit back and just see, golly, the whole universe, the whole realm of being is a state of infinite fulfillment right here and now. And that infinite fulfillment fulfilling itself constantly, permanently, in every detail. So that we see that love, capital L, loves love, capital L. Can you see that? Mr. Zeddy would say, love never loses sight of loveliness. Well, we can even exalt that and say, love never losing sight of love. And if we have, if we culture that feeling, that consciousness, that awareness within us, then we live and move in a realm where we feel that everything is at the point of fulfillment. And that love never lets any sense of fulfillment out of sight, out of grasp, that it is always carry that within itself. I think it's a terrific sense. And you see here that here love does not need protective work, that we must protect love and make protecting work. Here, love is its own self-protection of its completion, of its perfection. So that we lose that sense that we always feel that we have protect ourselves from the enemies through love, by loving everybody, so that no hate can reach us, that no fear can come unto us, that no evil reaches us. All this just disappears the moment consciousness is big enough and wide enough to see that everything is a state of love. Capital L. Capital L. Never forget that. That gives that wonderful sense. Then we go further to absolute Christian science, where we have life and love, where we can symbolize really the relationship of principle to idea, the relationship of fulfillment to the point where it fulfills itself constantly. And there we, Mrs. Eddy, would use life and love. And you see, truth does not appear there in the combination. You remember when you have that in your mental image, that in absolute Christian science in the word, we had life, truth, love. Then in the Christ, we had truth, life, love. But when we come to Christianity, we have only life and love, no truth there. And this is a point I have always noticed, that perhaps at the beginning the student has a bit difficult to understand that. And it is a point which has to be understood properly in order to grasp what happens here. So I try to explain it again, what it means that truth does not appear here, because only in that way we really get the feel of Christianity in absolute Christian science. I can explain it perhaps best when I go back to the relative synonymous terms in the word. You know, in the word we had, as I said, life, truth, love. The statement, the impulsion of life, which says, I'm the impelling life, bringing forth the true form of life, truth, already at the point of perfection, love. So that's the nature of that impulsion of principle to ideas. You see, that creative impulsion which being says, I'm always life, bringing always forth true forms, always already at the point of love, of perfection. Then we have seen last time that when we come to the Christ, we have truth, life, love, meaning truth, the ideal, meaning that this whole word of life, truth, and love is the ideal which translates itself constantly to the point of individual idea, life, truth, life, to the point of individual idea where the idea is exactly adapted to the situation, the infinite adaptation of love, of which Mrs. Eddy speaks. So you have truth, life, love, giving that wonderful sense that the word is not just pouring out infinitely everything, life, truth, and love, but that the Christ is very specific and just gives that right idea which is necessary for the specific situation. Truth, the whole ideal, individualized through life at the point of right adaptation in love, so that it meets the right need. Now we come to Christianity, and you see, as we have seen, that in Christianity, the Christ always goes on to every point, so that the Christ is, so to say, precipitating itself on every situation. Now, this Christ is at work over and over and over. And what it brings forth is the outcome of this Christ idea. We have seen Christianity is outcome. The outcome is always an idea. We have seen the outcome. Word is the principle. Christ is the translation of that principle to the point of idea. Christianity is the realm of idea. So the outcome in Christianity is idea. And idea cannot be symbolized through a synonymous term. because the synonymous term is God, is being. Therefore, because it is the true form as the outcome, man as the outcome, the Christ man as the outcome, the compound idea man as the outcome, the individualized man as the outcome, man has, is not the synonymous term. It's idea. So truth cannot appear here. And that's the beauty of it, you see, which says, if you want to know something about man, don't worry about that. All what you have to do is to see that there is an impulsion of life, God, going on and on and on, and love preserving that creative ability perfectly. And so we have the fatherhood and motherhood of being, which is there in the focus, which brings out man. But man cannot be symbolized, therefore truth does not appear. This is something you have to think it over. I know out of my own life that it took me quite a while, so to say, to get the feel of it, and not just the word of it. But you can see what it is implied, that if I want to have an outcome, and to demonstrate an outcome like man, like manhood, then I don't have to demonstrate manhood. All what I have to do is to go back to the fatherhood and motherhood of God. If I want to know something about man, I have to know something about God. That's the answer. Because man does not exist by itself, is not, cannot be symbolized through a synonymous term, and so it must be symbolized by the origin of man. Which means, in practical terms also, that we shouldn't really be concerned about man at all. What we should be concerned about is, what is life, capital L? What is love, capital L? And if in consciousness we think about the infinite impulsion of life, then we know that that infinite impulsion of life brings something forth. Whatever it brings forth is preserved and accepted by love, kept intact by love, preserved by love, so that nothing goes lost, and then I have the whole universe. Because life is bringing forth the whole universe, and love is protecting that whole universe, or caring for that whole universe. And so actually, by staying with the standpoint of God or life and love, I actually demonstrate man. What's that, Chinese, double Dutch? But that's a wonderful thing here. So the Christianity is the outcome. I cannot demonstrate the outcome without the origin. And the origin is father and mother, life and love. Man is the outcome. So to have a true outcome, I just think about the infinite impulsion of life, life living life, love loving that life, love loving that impulsion of life, love preserving that impulsion of life, seeing that nothing goes lost, what life projects forth, what life brings forth, what life spells forth, what life projects into being, calls into being. Love protects it, keeps it warm, accepts it, so that nothing can go lost. That's the consciousness which we can call man. Can you see that man is the consciousness of God? Man is not the consciousness of man, but the consciousness of God is man. So, here we have really a terrific sense. Just have quickly a look at page 3. Which applies really to this combination of the synonymous terms, life and love. See, we naturally have to see what is the place value of life and of love, which must be very different from when life and love appear at another place in the whole chart. But here you can see, I just have taken at random a few complementary ideas of life and love to indicate really the fatherhood and the motherhood of being. Let's take, for instance, life as that creative life, that infinite creative life. You see, without love, you wouldn't know what would happen with that creative impulsion, if it would be spilled all over the place for nothing. Just say if you take a pine tree, you see, and the pine tree gives every year, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of seeds, and perhaps only once after 10 years one seed grows. All the rest is spilled all over for nothing. Well, in being, this is different. In being, there is not only a creator, there is also love, the mother, who preserves it. So that we know that every idea which life impels into being, if my consciousness is at the point of Christianity, it takes also in love and knows that this creative impulsion, this creative vision, the new idea that comes to me, is infinitely preserved by love. Nothing can happen to that. It's no more in danger. And I have a feeling it will never go lost. Now, get lost. Go lost, get lost, get lost. Or you take as life the Father that maintains. You can say, what does it maintain? Well, it maintains the compound idea man, you see. All the ideas. That's why man is, so to say, here in the middle here, between life and love. Life maintains all ideas, the compound idea. But love comes and says, and I care for it. I'm not just the maintainer, but I also care, nurture it, and love it, and so on, and care for it. Or you have, for instance, life as that which provides. You see, life is the provider, the Father is the provider. Provides and provides, but there is a motherhood sense which looks that that which is provided is not spent for nothing or for a silly thing. It goes and protects it, and protects what is provided. Can you see, always when we come to love, you have a sense that nothing can get lost, that nothing is in danger, that everything is protected. Or we can have as life, as sustains. Life, Mrs. Eddy would see as the Father, as the sustainer. But love comes in and says, yes, but I tend it. See, I tend it. These are just taken at random ideas of fatherhood and motherhood. The Father gives. That's a wonderful sense. But love accepts. Funny enough, we are much more willing usually to give when we become a Christian. Before we are a Christian, we like to get. Then when we become a Christian, we like to give. And it takes quite a while until we are willing to accept. To accept that we are. To accept that we are the compound idea man. Usually we like to give to the other and are very great and help the other. But very seldom we accept and acknowledge to ourselves that we are the blessed of God, the glorified of God, that we are really the anointed. Who is going to accept that? But it's a matter of consciousness. It's all a matter of consciousness. It doesn't depend on anything except consciousness. See, that's the big thing about Christian Science. That all is a matter of consciousness. Everyone can, if he wants, accept that he is the anointed. That he is the anointed of the world. That he is the pioneer of the world. That he is the blessed of the world. That he is who is being called by God. Who is going to accept it? Everybody says, oh, I'm just a tiny little unimportant individual. I don't matter in this world. Well, and you deny Christianity. See? The moment you take away the least bit of the all-encompassing idea, we deny Christianity. Because it does not depend on what we humanly are. It all depends that life does actually give everything. Give everything. And it actually is that love accepts that, acknowledges that, affirms that, definitely as its own. That's the mother that does that. She accepts. She conceives. Life is that which projects into being. It's the creative sense of, usually of the man, of the male, that has always new ideas, that throws new ideas into the world, that brings in new ideas, new concepts into the world. And if there is not a conception of it, and the conception in the way of becoming pregnant with it, of accepting it, then that whole projection is spilled all over the place. But the motherhood sense will say, oh, golly, life has given me a new idea, and I follow this new idea, I see the new vista, and I jolly well see that love is going to care for it, to accept it, and tend for it, and love it, and nurture it, and preserve it, and protect it, and it's going to be great. Great is the idea. It's a state of consciousness. Or let's take that life evolves, that life is that impulsion, that drive, that urge, that always evolves more and more, which brings in the whole evolution of the world. But love is that which sees that it goes right through to the end, that it is that finalistic and telefinalistic, that teleological, that goal-directing love which looks that everything comes to the point of fulfillment, of accomplishment. How many does start something and he never goes right through to the end? Because the mother sense is missing. He doesn't trust it. He doesn't tend it. He doesn't care enough for it. If at the first difficulty he gives up, then he has no motherhood sense. Mother never gives up when difficulty arises. Then she comes to her strength. Then she is big when the difficulties arise. Then she is the mother. Then she turns out, really, those wonderful qualities of accepting and trusting and having the vision and anticipating. Oh, here we have it then. You see, life is that which always strives higher and higher. Well, that's man. To see that there is a life impulsion that strives higher and higher. Life would be dead for each one of us if there would no more be a striving. If we would say, now I got it, now I have it, now that's fine, I don't want anything more. Well, that's death. We better go right down into the grave at that moment. But man is that which every day thinks, well, today brings a new vista, something completely new, you know. That's why one has a sense when one has touched life that there is no end to the vision. That one feels, I don't know how long I still live on this earth. I will see every year something higher. Every 10 years I will make a new mutation. That's what one has a feeling. And I never get the feeling now, what I have seen, that's the end of it and I'm happy with it. And so let's have that and that's the end. But it always is a new beginning for something else. But that must be really coupled with the anticipation of its promise, with taking in already the promise, with taking in already the end, the glory of the end, so that one can live by the promise. And only then has one enough strength and enough courage to go forward and go forward and go forward in spite of all the difficulties. Because one lives by the anticipation of the promise. And so we can go on with life and love. I have just taken here another one, that life is the consecration of life. Without consecration, we get never anywhere in Christian Science. Never. Christian Science needs that deep consecration of life where one puts just everything into it. Everything in the way of time, of energy, of everything one has. And love can see that this is not in vain. There's nothing in vain. It will have its fulfillment. I try to take other ones just to get, you know, just to get the melody. See, you must get the melody of life and love, you see, of that life impulsion and that love taking it back, you see, embracing it and carrying it. So, see, in the Word, you just had that always this sense of going out, you see, of life, truth and love. Whereas in Christianity, you have the sense of life going out and love taking it back, so encircling it. And that's why Christianity is so important. You have the newness of life, always brings up something new. But if there is no motherhood sense who welcomes it, well, then we make opposition to it. We are deaf to it. We are blind to it, to the newness. That's why so many new things are going on in the world, and only a small percentage of mankind takes it in, welcomes it. The rest says, oh, again, something new. Oh, that's too much, and so on. They don't want to go forward. See, I must welcome it. Without that welcoming, that we must welcome that the new vision comes in. We must welcome that we have to change our whole attitude compared with the past. Then we are then a mutation can place within us. Or you have the wonderful sense, you know, that life is the surprise of life. You never know from one minute to the other what's going to happen if one touches life. If one keeps the sense of the impulsion of life alive within one's consciousness, that one sees, I don't know what's coming, but life is pouring forth something new. Life is going to do something to me. Life is going to do something to the whole vision. Life is going to do something to the whole world. Life is going to do something to the whole mankind, every day, every year, new. That's an infinite surprise. We don't know what it's going to do. And if we don't have a sense of the adventure of love, we give up. We fear it. We fear that surprise. If we don't have that adventurous sense within us which says, all right, yes, let's have the adventure. Because we know that love is the big adventure. That love is that bigger adventure to be all in all. That love is that big adventure to bring us into new realms, into new fields, into higher visions. And so this adventurous sense is something which we have to keep awake within ourselves, consciously keep awake, so that we are really taken in by this surprise of life. And so life comes inexpectant. You never know what happens. You never know when a new vision comes. But life impels it. It's that mutation of life, the spontaneity of life. It's inexpectant. Though it is inexpected, though we don't know what's coming, though we don't know what the next point is, we can know that life is coupled with love, namely that it is within the purposive plan. That it is something which happens completely new, but which is a factor within a purpose, with a plan which has purpose. You know, one says that in the natural sciences, they can never really foresee the development of natural science. That the inexpected discoveries will always be made which turn everything into a new direction. But that one sees that these inexpected new discoveries which are being made are always in a direct purposive line. that they always lead forward and higher, that they never lead astray, because the plan of love is at work.